You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, is America ready for a gay president? Maybe we've already had one. With divorce rates continuing to rise, is it time to go back to arranged marriages? Plus, ladies, if your boss knew the real reason you called in sick today, you'd be cleaning out your desk. Let's meet our in-studio friend today, and it's been a while, but it's always great when she's here. Let's have a warm welcome for Erin Myers.
Hello. Thanks for having me back. I know it's been a long time, but what I want to talk about is the month of June. It smashed temperature records, and scientists are saying that this could be the hottest year ever, so we'll talk a little bit about that coming up.
See? Warm welcome. It all makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, right?
Hey, if you listen to the show on iTunes, thank you for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the show by doing that, because the folks at iTunes read your comments, notice your five-star reviews, and subscribe. All right, let's get things started, Erin. What do you say? Record-breaking heat, huh?
It is. I guess June, as I said, smashed all these records. And I guess the first half of this year is already looking like it could beat the previous record set in 2010. So this could end up being one of the hottest years ever as well. And, you know, they're saying sometimes global warming doesn't exist. Others say it does. But right now, things are hot.
Mm-hmm.
And in June, actually, 1,200 people were killed in South Pakistan from a heat wave. And in May 2000 in India. So it's definitely causing problems all around the world. I hear Spain, another place that is having record-breaking heat right now. So very hot. And here in Southern California, I know people know about our drought that's been going on for 4 years. Well, we did get some rain the last weekend, and we got quite a bit, over half an inch, I guess, in many areas. But we're still hot, and it's humid, and it's sticky, and we need a lot more.
Yeah,
so
a half inch is not really, I mean, it's a lot of rain for us.
Yes.
Every local TV station was on storm watch.
Yes, but I thought I was going to be doing that, but no, I got lucky, and I was not out in the mud.
But half an inch, I mean, that's great. I mean, we all got to turn off our sprinklers. I forgot to mention, finally, the letter came down to the town where I live in, because I live in a city where if your grass isn't green up front, they write you a ticket.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
And you're not allowed to tear it out and put in artificial stuff.
Oh, see, that doesn't seem fair, especially when it's so dry.
Yeah, but finally, and I think the state of California, Governor Brown, got around to talking to the leaders of our city and said, hey, you know, fines are coming if you don't tell your residents to step in line with the rest of the state. And so I got one of those cards that said, water twice a week for no longer than 10 minutes. No runoff, no watering the driveway or the porch, no washing the car unless you have one of those shut off handles on your what do they call those?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, where it doesn't have the constant stream flowing.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, there you go. And so that's a huge change, because I just landscaped my house.
Oh no!
And so I was watering daily.
So how's your grass looking then?
Well,
now,
I mean, just skipping one day, it starts getting brown. But the rain came in. The other rule is that you're not allowed to use your sprinklers during a rainstorm within 48 hours after.
So you still have another day before you can probably water the grass again.
So it's tomorrow at the soonest that I could run the sprinklers.
I think cacti would be good in your future, but they don't let you, will they?
Well,
or
no, they will now.
They'll
let that as long as it's green and it looks well kempt and park-like. That's the thing. It's supposed to be park-like.
Oh well, you know, you can have a park-like feature even without grass, though. They might have to realize that if we don't get more rain, though.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what I have started doing, though. We have buckets in all of our showers now.
And then you just take the extra and
the green water. Do one of two things: you can water your yard, your brown spots on the grass, or you could pour a gallon of that water right into your toilet bowl. Not the tank, but the bowl. You know, if it's yellow, let it mellow. Okay, by the time yellow's turning brown.
Then you need to.
You pour in a gallon of that water and it flushes by itself.
Oh, goodness. Yes.
Just not in the tank, but in the bowl.
Just make sure you put the toilet lid down and it's all good.
Yeah.
Right. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad I live in an apartment right now, because I don't have to deal with any of that. I shower and wash dishes every once in a while by hand, and that's it.
You shower by hand?
Well, I use my hands, but but yes, I'm using that as an excuse to shower less, actually. Oh, we're in a drought. I should probably skip a day.
Yeah.
Perfume squirts.
Sure.
Those help.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Little alcohol rub down.
Yes.
All right. We don't talk a lot of politics on this program, but politics is humor these days. The Donald has been putting his foot in his mouth left and right. However,
yes.
Some of what he says does resonate with some hardcore conservatives out there.
Apparently.
And it's early in the race, but how's he looking in the polls?
Well, right now it's kind of funny. An ABC News and Washington Post national poll says that he has support of 24% of registered Republicans and is leading the Republican independents right now.
Oh, Republican independents, but not Republicans overall.
Oh, no. Republicans overall and Republican-leaning independents.
Oh.
So, yes. And the next closest to him is Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. But there is a catch. They said that this poll was done over a few days. And it was conducted, part of it was conducted before he started talking about Senator John McCain.
Oh, but how many paragraphs do you have to read into the article before you realize that?
Yes, they're like, ooh, and then I'm like, there's the catch. I knew this couldn't be possible.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The last day was after he made those comments. So that brought him down from 28% to this 24%. So
yeah.
It did hurt him. And, you know, he still really hasn't apologized. And if you remember what he said is he said he wasn't a war hero. And he says McCain's not a war hero. That's what Donald Trump said.
Yeah.
He says he's not a war hero. He was a war hero because he was captured. I like people who weren't captured.
Yeah.
And that didn't sit well with a lot of people for, I think, obvious reasons. And he is still yet to apologize. So,
yeah.
And I don't think he will.
No, I don't think he will either. All right, but I don't think he's going to win the nomination, nor will he be president.
No,
and,
I
think most Republicans realize that.
Yeah, I think he just does it to kind of just get out there, get more.
And the other thing is, the other candidates, all 50 of them, they haven't really had that many speeches that have made national headlines.
No, they're just getting started, and you know somebody will pass him up, and he'll stick his foot in his mouth again, and then it'll be more controversy. And I think that's what he likes. I think he just likes the attention.
Yeah,
that's
although it's bad for business, he's losing all his.
I know.
His stuff, his TV
yes,
stuff.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I mean, maybe sometimes saying sorry is a good thing.
You a baseball fan at all?
I am.
You are?
I am. I love the Angels.
Oh,
yes.
Good. I was there just a couple of nights ago.
I'm jealous then, because that is my favorite team, for sure. Used to love Tim Salmon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be great if they had Salmon on the team now? Because then you'd have Salmon and Trout.
I know. I think he was meant to play for the Angels. When I saw Trout, I was like, oh, this was meant to be.
Yeah.
Because, yes, they have the star.
Yeah.
Fish team.
Right.
But that is my favorite team. And, you know, maybe one day you'd get to play with them because that's actually happening in New York. An ex-slugger is playing recreational baseball there. And that is Hideki Matsui.
Really?
Yes. He's in a league. I guess it's called New York City's Nippon Club.
Oh.
And it's a social club for Japanese immigrants. And they play baseball on the weekends. And he joined the team recently. But there is a couple things that are different. He plays, he bats right-handed instead, so he can be a little more fair.
Yeah.
And he does not play out in the field. He's their pitcher.
Hmm.
But apparently, on Sunday, they actually just won a tournament.
No kidding.
They're doing well with
him. Did I miss it? Is this softball, slow pitch softball? Is that what it is?
You know what? That it doesn't say. It just says, nope, it's baseball. It says rec league baseball. It does not say slow pitch softball. So he's their pitcher.
Yeah.
And they won.
Can you imagine?
How fun would that be to walk into your baseball practice and you're playing with him?
Yeah, how much would it suck if you're on the other team?
Well, yeah, that is kind of. He actually is the team. He took over the team pretty much and named it after him. So it's Team Matsui.
Now, remember when the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC were a big deal?
Yes, they still are.
And you were in love with them, weren't you?
Actually, neither one of them. I actually like the New Kids on the Block and still do a little bit.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well. The rest of us wish that all of these guys accidentally fell off the stage into a vat of burning tar.
And,
but we may get our wish because Backstreet Boys and NSYNC may all die terrible, horrific deaths. We'll tell you about that next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Hey, thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and friends. Aaron Myers is here today. I'm Phil, and you're here. We have a party. That's officially all you need.
A party of two.
Yeah. All right, so Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
Okay.
Name a song?
Oh, you just put me on the spot.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Is that the name of the song?
Baby, bye, bye, bye.
Yeah. Is that yes. That's NSYNC,
that's
right?
That's NSYNC. And then Backstreet Boys, I know the music. I just can't. I'm going blank on a title right
I'm
now.
I'm
going
to love her like no other?
No, but that should be one, probably.
Yeah? All right. I'll start working on it.
There you go.
So if you ever wondered what the opposite of box office gold is, this may be it. Nick Carter, Howie Duroux, and A.J. McLean of the Backstreet Boys are doing a movie called Dead 7 with Joey Fatone of NSYNC.
Oh.
Nick is writing it, and he calls it a zombie Western futuristic horror movie. And it's being produced, by the way, by The Asylum. That's the company that makes the Sharknado movies and all those stupid mega shark flicks.
Oh, it's going to be a classic. What are you talking about?
Carter says he also wants to bring in more people who were, quote, in the music in the 90s and 2000s.
I like it, actually. I will watch that, sadly.
And kill them all off.
Yeah, you had me at zombie, first of all.
Yeah.
But then you throw in the knowing they're probably going to get, like, chopped to bits or eaten. It's going to be an amazing movie.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think of the meal Joey Fatone would make.
You wouldn't go hungry for a while. I wonder if they could get anybody else. I know you won't get Justin Timberlake. He's too far.
Yeah. Well,
advanced, no.
I don't think so. I think he's, they'd have to pay him a few million dollars just to have him show up.
He should make a cameo at least.
Just to read the script, they'd have to pay him a couple million.
Probably.
Keeping with the entertainment news for a moment, NBC is doing a reboot of Xena, Warrior Princess.
Oh.
And no word of Lucy Lawless will be involved, but she's 47 and probably won't return as the title character,
That's
one
too bad.
Would think.
She could still kick butt.
Yeah, I think she still shows up. There are Xena conventions,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. And she's who you associate with that. I think that's going to be a hard role for somebody to take on.
The original producer, Sam Raimi, and Rob Tappert are involved. Tappert is Lucy's husband. And she's also in the other project they're working on, Ash vs. Evil Dead, which premieres in October on
Starz. That's what she gets?
Yeah. We love Ash, don't we? This is my boomstick. The original Xena ran in syndication for six seasons from 95 to 2001. The reboot is in the very early stages of development, so you can still audition. There aren't any additional details.
I could be a good Xena, I think.
Xena had her ambiguously lesbian partner with her the entire time. And would you play that role?
I would rather be Xena and be the one who's like, kicking butt and fighting.
Gonna have to bulk up a little.
Oh, man.
Come on, show us the guns.
Get some muscles.
Yeah?
Get some muscles. I have some.
Do you?
Yeah.
You got guns?
I do.
All right.
Maybe not big enough, but maybe I would have to play the sidekick.
Cap guns? All right. Do you have any more entertainment news for us?
I kind of do. And this one, I wasn't surprised about it. But the reasoning now, that surprised me. So Blake Shelton, Miranda Lambert, they're divorced now. It was a very quick divorce. And I just assumed, you should never assume, that he probably had cheated on her because when he got with Miranda Lambert, he left his ex-wife for her and there were some allegations of him cheating.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's happened throughout his relationship with
Miranda
Lambert,
And all his songs
too.
Are about carousing.
Yes, he's the kind of guy who sounds like he likes to have a good time with the ladies. So now they're saying Miranda Lambert is actually the one who may have been cheating, and he's the one who filed for divorce because he found out she was unfaithful, and he found maybe enough to prove it to at least himself that she was getting a little on the side.
Yeah,
yeah,
well.
And I guess it was with somebody she may have toured with and then somebody else. But that's just a maybe. I don't know for
sure.
And that's just what entertainment places are putting out there.
Popular musicians in their own right. They both have their own tours, their own tour buses.
Yes.
And they don't tour together.
No, they never see each other. That's
right.
Not going to be healthy for a relationship. And apparently she like broke down in tears on the stage a couple days ago before this was announced. So
that's
emotional.
That's so country.
country.
Next, she's going to have a nervous breakdown on stage.
He's my lying, cheating husband.
Yeah, right. Oh, gosh.
Aw, I feel bad.
Yeah.
But it makes you never want to get married.
Right. Okay. Do you cringe once in a while when you do entertainment stories? Because you are a serious journalist and news reporter, and you'd like to cover those types of stories whenever possible, I imagine.
Well,
but do people pigeonhole you?
No, you know, it's funny, because I used to do more entertainment. Now I do more news, I would say, and I do prefer the news.
Yeah.
I do.
You do?
The entertainment gets a little tiresome, and you start to go, why?
Why
are
do
they
we
so
care?
Important?
Yeah.
Yes, we have better and bigger things to be talking about that affect mankind, not
right.
just Hollywood.
Yes.
So,
but see, the way we cover it is NSYNC and Backstreet Boys will,
but that one I do like.
Will be slashed to death in a movie.
Okay. And that's the part we like about
that's
it.
That's all we need to know.
Yes.
Miranda Lambert and Blake Shelton are splitting up. Blake Shelton is now romantically linked with Adam Lambert. Is that what you said?
Oh, no, but that could, you never know. It could happen.
You didn't say that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I was taking notes. I thought that's what you said.
Adam Lambert. No, that's the guy from...
Yeah. And then they're remaking Xena, Warrior Princess.
Yes.
So that's all we need to know.
Yeah. Not one of them is a very important story, to be honest.
We don't need to interview the representative at NBC and find out his logic behind why they want to do it. Who cares? Right?
No, it'll either do well or won't,
yeah.
Which I'm going with. You cannot replace Lucy Lawless on that.
Yeah.
Just
all
not
right.
good.
Now, here's what we really care about. And you tell me if you've done this.
Okay.
You tell me if you've done this. Your appearance really shouldn't have anything to do with your job performance, but in most jobs. But that
most jobs.
Clearly isn't stopping you from worrying about it. A new survey found 1 in 3 women think that they don't look their best at work and it affects their career. The survey didn't go into whether it actually does affect women's careers, but still there's clearly an insane amount of pressure going on. And here are the other 4 things we found in this study. 1 in 10 women have called in sick because of a bad hair day or a skin issue.
The heroin, I can't.
A bad hair day.
See, but the skin issue, depending on how bad, I could see that one.
Well, when you're talking about skin issue, that's the kind of like the zit that you can't cover with the makeup?
Maybe, yeah. Probably. Or in Hollywood, it could be you went and got a laser treatment and your face is peeling off.
Oh.
That one, too,
puffy?
I've seen.
Puffiness. You can't
puffy?
Do much with puffy, right?
No, you have to put your hair in front of your face and just hope that it hides it.
Wow.
Yeah.
21% have canceled plans with friends because they didn't like how they looked that day.
I've done that.
10% have canceled a date.
That one probably too.
And 5% have hidden inside and refused to go out in public at all.
I have done that too. I did actually once. I got it was when I broke my nose and I looked like I had.
What you don't realize, ladies, is we're just happy to see you.
Ha. Ha. No,
it's
you're happy to see us when we are all dolled up and looking fabulous.
Well, there's that too, but
yes.
that's like a special treat, just the same. I mean, no makeup and hair just kind of blowing in the wind. It just generally works for us. In fact, a pulse works for most guys.
That's what I've heard. Yes, it's funny. My dad, he hates makeup, and anytime my sisters or my mom would wear it, he'd be like, "Get that gunk off your face." That's what he would call it.
Gunk.
Yeah. So I grew up. None of us wore makeup. I only do it for work usually, and that's
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. Quick random item here
okay.
for you. Speaking of women, did you know that the Marlboro cigarettes were initially targeted to women?
That I did not know.
But Philip Morris, which I don't think is called Philip Morris anymore. What are they called? Atrium or something like that? Atria? I don't know. They came up with a different name because Philip Morris became the equivalent to evil. but anyway, Philip Morris at the time created the Marlboro Man, who has since died of lung cancer, to let men know it was okay to smoke them too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Why, does it say why they were geared towards women to start?
I don't know. Maybe they just thought that was the marketplace they needed
huh.
to compete in.
That's very interesting.
But the box doesn't scream female, does it?
No, that's why I'm wondering why what the logic was behind that originally.
Red and white, angular, all those
mm-hmm.
women tend
and
to.
And smoking, something that might makes your hair smell.
I learned this from the car industry. The whole rounded back on a minivan actually appeals to women, whereas angular vehicles appeal to men.
Huh. See, nothing about a minivan appeals to me whatsoever. I don't know. I don't know about that one. I see. I understand their purpose, though.
Yeah.
Yes. You can get a lot of kids in there.
Okay. One more time. And please don't take offense to this, Aaron, because I don't mean to pigeonhole you. But I have one more entertainment story. Daniel Day-Lewis, you know who that is.
I do.
You've probably interviewed him. He's the only person who's ever won the Oscar for Best Actor 3 times.
Okay.
Can you name the 3 movies?
I still can't remember the first one. But
well, we went over this earlier before the show started, but name
there's
the two
Lincoln,
that you remember.
And
that's
then
one.
The other one I'm going to go blank on again, but it was the oil movie.
There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood.
Good movie.
There Will Be Blood. Yeah. Yes.
I'm never going bowling at a rich guy's private bowling alley again. And you don't remember the other one?
No, but as soon as... As soon as you say it, I'm going to know. So I do know it.
You do know it?
I'm going blank.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. You put me on the spot.
Yeah. All right. You like shoes, right?
Yes. A lot.
You put them on 1 foot at a time?
If the shoe fits. No, I don't know.
Which foot do you start with?
The left foot, because I'm lefty. The right foot.
The movie was called...
I don't know.
My Left Foot.
My Left Foot?
Yes.
Oh,
in fact,
then I did not know that.
You practically even said it in answering my question in a complete
sentence. I don't know
that
movie then. I do not know that one. My Left Foot. I will have to...
The shoe I put on first on my left foot.
My left foot.
What I believe you said.
Okay, I wrote that down because I don't think I have seen that one.
3 good movies.
Yeah, I've seen the other two.
Yeah. All right, here's a question for you. I want you to be very honest. Because you probably won't be able to say your honest answer out loud. If it's the wrong answer. Is America ready for a gay president? We'll discuss that with somebody who says yes, 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 and we'll make the argument and explain what it means for America and the world next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, we're back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. When John F. Kennedy ran for president, it was a huge deal that he was Catholic. If you're old enough, you may remember that. Only Protestants had run in the past, and we've yet to have a Jewish president, as far as we know. Of course, President Obama, first black president, and the possibility of America's first female president exists in this election cycle with at least 2 female candidates. I think it's safe to say most of America is okay with a female president, but... what about a gay president? Joining us live is a Philadelphia attorney who practices LGBT law, including corporate transactions, civil rights, employment, discrimination, real estate, domestic and international adoptions, and estate. She's the founder of PhillyGayLawyer.com, which is linked on our links page at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. Angela Giampolo, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. How'd I do with the last name? Okay.
Perfect.
Oh, wow.
Honorary Italian.
All right. Good, good. Now, okay, so the question is, you've no doubt thought about this. Is America ready for a gay president?
I mean, I've clearly, being a lesbian my entire life, I've always thought America was ready for a gay president. But you know you're ready for a gay president when 2 things. A, Jimmy Carter back in 2010 says we're ready for a gay president, and he's always right. And secondly... in my opinion, and I've done research on it, but historians have done much more research than I would say that we've already had a gay president.
All right.
Oh.
Buchanan, who came from Pennsylvania.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't quite hear what you said. Which president? Did you say Buchanan?
James Buchanan, yep.
Was he married at the time, or what?
Nope. I mean, he went by Ultimate Bachelor. There was people like you and media and reporters or whatnot back then, but he ran as a bachelor, was never married prior, never married during, never married after, and he was as a president.
Yeah.
Not for nothing, but that's code for almost.
Yeah, but now, up to now, society and politics have required candidates to have a traditional male-female marriage. You always see it. It seems like you've got to be the power couple to make it all work. How likely is it that some of those unions were marriages of convenience?
Right. I think it's just media became visual, right? We've had presidents that have gotten away just to be, they've gotten away with being openly They've gotten away with being disabled. They've gotten away, quote unquote, with all of these things because TB wasn't available yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. An amazing, amazing president that if you were to fast forward to 2016, they wouldn't even be senators or state president of the United States.
Right. We're having a real difficult time with the phone connection here. We're going to hang in there a little bit longer. Got another question or two for you, and just see if perhaps if I happen to say stand right there. I don't know if you're walking around, but just the same, the signal's coming in and out. Well, we're speaking with Angela Giampolo. PhillyGayLawyer.com is the website. There are some, Angela, out there who believe Hillary and Bill Clinton had such a marriage of convenience. Oh, there she hung up and she's going to call us back maybe? All right, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I want to ask her that question about Bill and Hillary.
Because I think a lot of people think that or have wondered about that.
Right, so. Because if she won, and she was the president, most powerful woman in the world, person in the world perhaps, if she came out and said, okay, fine, I'm going to be honest
Could
with you,
you
now.
Imagine?
Not only am I the first female president.
I'm also a lesbian, I'm gay. That would be awesome, actually,
yeah.
I think.
Well,
that would be very cool.
I have so many more questions for Angela. Hopefully we can make a better connection. Connection there in the meantime. I do have a quick little totally unrelated tidbit of information. What do you say, Mike? We're going to be good?
We're still trying?
No, we're still trying. Okay.
Okay.
Do you remember the Ford Model T?
Yes, I used to have one.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
Come on.
I remember it from the history books.
Somebody in your family might have had a Model T. The Model T could run on gasoline or fuel made out of hemp.
Oh, interesting.
Just like getting the hashtag hemp in the program every now and then. But when oil prices started dropping, because, you know, back then you could probably get a gallon of gas for a penny, Ford phased out the hemp option because hemp was more expensive.
Well, maybe we should bring that back in because gas right now is ridiculously expensive, at least in California.
What the heck has happened? We've gone up like a dollar in a month and a half.
Uh-huh. I filled my tank up before I drove. Well, I didn't fill it up. I won't fill it up anymore. I'll just put in like $20 because it hurts too much to fill the tank up.
Right.
It's painful.
Yeah, yeah.
To see that just keep going and going up.
Yeah.
So,
one more tidbit here for you. You remember the movie An American Tale?
I love that. Fievel.
Yeah. It was the first animated movie by someone other than Disney to make more money than a Disney movie. It came out in 1986. Do you feel old now?
I was two.
It made almost twice as much money as Disney's The Great Mouse Detective.
Wow, that was a very good movie. I love that, and I wanted a mouse afterwards.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a mouse?
Actually, we did, except my dad got him to feed to snakes. So that's when my sisters and I went, wait, there's a problem here, and we'd let them go inside the house.
Yeah, right.
So we had mice running around our home as a kid.
Tell me about this emoji thing you've been using to make weird faces of yourself.
Yes, I found this app. It's called Bitmoji, and I found it from a friend. She sent me this thing, and it looked like a cartoon version of her.
Yeah.
And now I'm obsessed with it because I made my cartoon avatar, and it says the funniest little things. I mean, there's hundreds you can pick from, and they say, oh, snap, or you're cray-cray. It's just really fun and probably something a 12-year-old should be doing, not somebody who's a grown adult. But I love it.
Bitmoji. One word. Okay.
Yes, love it.
Now, I understand we have Angela Giampolo back on the line. Angela, do we have a better connection? Let's see.
I believe so.
Wow, listen to that. I think we're good.
We hear you.
We were just talking about the possibility that we've already had a gay president, and we were getting off on this tangent of marriages of convenience. And I was asking, as we got disconnected, about those who believe that Hillary and Bill Clinton have such a union, that Hillary perhaps is lesbian. Do you have an opinion on that?
There are a lot of celebrities that in my opinion, are closeted. Hillary Clinton is not one of them. I mean, if you look at Al Gore and Tipper Gore, you know, I think marriages of convenience in the political realm or even scandal in the way that they show Fitz and Melly. And I mean, Melly hates Fitz and Fitz hates Melly, and they're both straight and they both have a lot of sex, not with each other, but you know, they're going to leverage their political capital. You know, you owe me, you know, she was raped by Fitz's dad. Like, she wants to be president and she hung in there and she feels owed something by Fitz. And I think in political realm or political careers, that's much more common than let's say in the entertainment world where you have beards. I mean, I think Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake are homos.
Oh.
And you know, they cover for each other, and So Rock Hudson, you know, had a beard. And so I think in the entertainment world or in other worlds, it's much more common that, you know, but and also in the political realm, being an alpha strong female, right, can be seen as, well, and actually I'm all over the place here, but I think Condoleezza Rice is a lesbian. Everyone knows she's a lesbian within D.C. She's been living with her quote unquote roommate for 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like sort of an Oprah Gayle thing. But but no, I mean, I think that Hillary comes across as a strong, dominant alpha female who couldn't be president. I don't think she's a lesbian. I just think that she stayed with Bill knowing that she would get further in her life.
Uh-huh.
By leveraging that.
Political convenience.
Al Gore tipper.
Yeah. Let's say America is ready for a gay president. Is the world ready? And how big would the diplomatic bumps in the road be in negotiating with Islamic states where homosexuality is not only frowned upon, but it's against the law? It could even get you killed if you're caught.
But then again, being a woman can get you killed in a lot of places. And I think the way that Obama and Hillary structured this was strategically amazing. You know, Obama, and again, I'm making this up, this is from my own poli-sci sort of background. They sat down, they said, listen, you know, people are ready for change. We can't have a dynasty, two Bushes, two Clintons. They're ready for me. Let me be president. I'll carry your health care plan. I'll call it Obamacare, but I'll run your health care plan forward. And meanwhile, I'll make you Secretary of State. So you can go around and shake hands to the dignitaries of the world, because guess what? Even if you did get elected within the United States, you would be brutal for us internationally, as Bush had been two terms, for them having to go from Bush to a woman.
Yeah.
So go out there, run the international circuit, shake everybody's hands, get them to like you. And we went from having a horrendous foreign policy, you know, stance in the world. I worked at the UN in Africa when George Bush was president and everybody hated the U.S. to now where everybody loves the U.S. And she's been to more countries as a Secretary of State than any in the last 50 years.
Let me ask you this. So we're running a little out of time here while we were waiting to hook up the phone there, and I apologize for that. But are you aware of a candidate that we should keep our eyes on, if not for this election cycle, but for a near future election cycle?
No one has really, you know, come out, no pun intended, twice, if you will, as gay and then as running for this. But the Victory Fund is a nonprofit in D.C. that cultivates, identifies, and funds LGBT individuals for running for office at any level. And right now they've calculated that we have about 400 to 500 LGBT individuals, anywhere from a sheriff or a constable to Tammy Baldwin, a senator, or Barney Frank. So if anything, that organization will be at the helm of hopefully choosing, identifying, and then helping to fund said campaign for president.
A pleasure to speak with you, Angela Giampolo. She's the founder of PhillyGayLawyer.com. Thanks, and we'll continue to watch the political landscape evolve as it has been so quickly over the last few years. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Now, speaking of marriage, it's somebody most people want. It's something, rather, most people want. And here's how it works. You meet somebody, you hit it off, you fall in love, and then there's a proposal, then there's a wedding, the honeymoon, the kids, etc. But is the traditional concept of courtship the best way? Is arranged marriage a better way to go? Is it an option you would consider? We'll talk about it with a proponent of arranged marriages next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, Adda.com. You're at our website, where you will enjoy countless experiences, like looking at Aaron Meyer's lovely publicity photo.
on the
staff page. You'll be able to find it if you poke around a little bit. All right, so before the break here, we were talking about marriage, the traditional courtship process that we have embraced here in America and most of the Western world. Joining us live now is an American of Muslim descent and an experienced diversity and multicultural trainer and facilitator, Sam Mack. Hello, Sam.
Hey, great to be here, Phil.
Yeah, even better to know that you're willing to talk to us. Now, arranged marriage in this day of age sounds crazy.
You know what, Phil? It actually sounds American. I mean, if you look at it, you've got Match.com, you've got eHarmony, you've got Zeus. They're all computer-arranged marriages.
Well, you know,
but you get to pick a little on those, don't you?
Yeah, and same with Muslim arranged marriages. My parents picked out about 6 or 7 guys, and back then I was in college, and I wasn't getting married, and I was going to conquer the world, and then I ended up meeting my husband in grad school.
Yeah.
My mom was given, I think she had about 10 proposals and ended up choosing my dad, and they've been married for about 50 years now.
Does that fall into the description of arranged marriage?
Oh, yeah. It was totally because my grandmother and grandfather picked out all the guys for my mom to meet. So it's kind of like the parents get together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, my daughter's shy, my son's outgoing, my daughter's outdoorsy, whatever. And they kind of figure out, would there be a match or not?
How much of it is a business deal?
Sometimes they are, especially when you get into really wealthy families. A lot of times it's more of a partnership and what the other family can. I wouldn't say it's a business merger, but that happens here, too.
You know, right. I may have described this, too, as a Western culture thing, the whole courtship deal, because when you watch the English period piece movies on TV, there's always the discussion about the marriages between a woman from one castle or from one part
family.
Of land and marrying into the noble family, or how it's going to improve the lot of the family, you know, for the whole kind of deal. So it's been around in various cultures for so many times. But then there are those classic movies, and, you know, there are countless numbers of them, where the young couple fights with the family and tradition to follow their hearts, and ultimately true love wins out. And that's the romantic image of courtship and marriage that we have. And we grow up having that image in our head. It's kind of a hard sell, this arranged marriage thing, isn't it?
It is and it isn't. You know, the thing is, it would be great if love always wins at the end, but sometimes it doesn't. And some people need a little bit of help. And some people, you know, their picker-outers don't work.
Mm-hmm.
They need to learn how to pick out better people. So why not get your parents to do it, and then they can't complain about your spouse?
I could see that we don't always, speaking from personal experience, you don't always pick the best person for you, and you have people around you saying, "What are you thinking?" So I can see what you're saying a little bit with some other people see outside of the box that you might not see.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you've got to think about it this way. There's a lot of pressure on the dating process. Sometimes people are projecting images of themselves that aren't really real. You know, they dress up super nice. They're talking in ways they don't normally talk. And then you kind of get home and sometimes think, did you buy the right package?
Yeah. Hey, is marriage, arranged marriage rather, a standard feature in Islam?
It's very common. I don't know if it'd be a standard feature, but I would say in most of the Muslim countries I've lived in and traveled to, it's just, you know, you don't have that pressure of getting married. It's just like, hey, look, my parents are going to take care of it.
Yeah.
They're going to find me someone great. They're going to find me someone they like. They're going to find me someone compatible. So I'm not, you know, I'm worried about my books. I'm worried about studying. I'm worried about making my mark in the world, not having to find somebody.
Yeah, but then if you have an arranged marriage, the odds are stacked in your favor in Islam. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I get things wrong all the time. But it seems to me that Islam has strict rules that discourage divorce and infidelity. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, well, all religions discourage divorce and infidelity.
But in some of the more conservative Islamic states, I mean, the discourage is a kind word.
Okay, so Islam gave women the right to initiate divorce in 600 AD. So women have always had the right to initiate divorce. It's just, I think, from the pressure it puts on children, the pressure it puts on the marriage, it's discouraged from that thing. But no, women have always had the right to choose, and they've always had the right to divorce. So it's not been a suppressive thing. Now, this stuff you see on Islam on TV, that's kind of, what happens on TV and what happens in reality aren't always the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's sensational is what you're saying. Right. Now, but here in America, I mean, any more getting married is a 50-50 proposition here. There's a pretty good chance that you're not going to last more than a few years because our divorce rate is so high. I mean, it's I think marriages are staying together more than 20 years at about a 54% clip these days. And so we could use some improvement. So run through me again the other benefits of this process. Do you get a chance to court your chosen or your betrothed potential mate for a while, or does it just kind of happen?
Yeah, you know, it just most of them that I have seen just kind of happen. Every now and then, for my parents' generation, I think my parents met once before they got married, and I will tell you, them and all their friends are still married.
Wow!
When I look at my cousins' ages, they would have kind of like group outings, so it wouldn't be necessarily just two people going out, but maybe. I remember I went out with my cousin and her sister and then her husband, who's now her husband, but the fiance at that time came out and he had his sister and a friend of his. So it was kind of six of us going out.
Mm-hmm.
And, they talked a little bit in private, but it was more of a group setting.
Now, how about how often does this happen? Because you see it from time to time, and maybe it's one of these sensationalized things that you referenced earlier. You see children... they're 12 or 13, sometimes younger, and families get together and say, okay, you will be husband and wife someday, but consider yourselves married for now. We'll have the real ceremony when you come of age.
So Islam uses the word marriage, but it's more of a engagement or promising. It means that, later on in life they'll make the actual choice, but a lot of times they'll say, hey, this is a really good family. We really like the values of these people, and so we would love to have a son-in-law or daughter-in-law like that.
Yeah.
But what will happen is as the kids become older, they'll make that decision. What I think is ironic in America, if I told you there was someone that was 13 or 14 years old or even 15 years old, sexually active, we'd be like, yeah, no big deal. They're, sex in high school, no big deal. But then you put on the responsibility of marriage and everyone freaks out.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like if you can have the privilege, why can't you have the responsibility?
Right. It makes sense. It makes logical sense. And the other thing that makes sense to me, at least, is how this draws families and communities closer together and stabilizes that, the community aspect of it for decades to come when you have that kind of cohesion between the matchmaking families. So, I don't know. It's something worth considering. Sam Mack, thank you so much for talking with us about it today. Is there a website or someplace where we could find you and read up some more on this?
Absolutely. They can get a free video if they go ahead and put in your name, Phil Hewlett. It's at www.speakerauthormotivator.com, and they can go ahead and just put in Phil Hewlett, and I will give them the free video on Islam and some of the things that are common between Americans and Muslims and the values we share.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. We'll link that for you. Sam Mack, thanks. That's it for hour one of the program. So much more to come, including a car salesman reveals the tricks car salesmen play on you. That's next in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, birds on pot. Which pets are best for your health? Those are two separate stories there. Classic American hotel swimming pools and the Vietnam vet who got into hot water over sea turtles. I know it doesn't sound like it makes sense, but it does. And Erin Myers is here. She'll make sense of it a little later in the program. Hi, how you doing? I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. All right, so we've all met car salesmen.
Mm-hmm.
They're the guys with the bad suit and the bad smile, and they're not necessarily telling the truth because they
well,
want
maybe
you.
That part's true.
They want you to, especially the used car guys, because who knows what's going on with that car. These days, I guess you could do a little background check on the car.
Well, you should do that even if it's not a used car, though, too.
Like, yeah.
Do your homework.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But then there are the old sales tricks, and they get you to buy more than you want to. And, tell me about this one car salesman who's kind of opening up the books on the tricks.
Yeah, there's a guy named Scott Chesrown, and he worked in dealerships for about 10 years. He's now transitioning to a company called Vroom, which is a New York City-based car sales startup, and they actually help buy the car, finance, and sell it online, and then even could bring it to you so you don't have to deal with any of that, of going into a dealership.
Oh.
But he has four things that dealers do to trick people. The first is, if you're trading in, they start very low on the appraisal of your trade and hoping that you'll start negotiating from that price.
Mm-hmm.
And so look in the Kelley Blue Book. Look up what your car's worth before you even go in. So just the simple doing your homework.
Control the negotiation.
Yes, that is what it says. That takes it and that puts it in your hands then that it's, you're the one in the lead.
Yeah, and do this too. Always answer a question with a question.
Oh.
The last person that asks the questions in charge of the conversation.
You just keep going, well, question after question, and you never get an answer. No. The second they say is they try to get you in the door by offering low prices, and then they sell you something different.
Yeah.
So make sure if you're going in, you know that vehicle's available, because you could walk in and they're like, oh, sorry, we just sold the last one.
I walked into a dealership once and I looked at a car that I really liked, and I walked out, and one of the sales guys yelled out to me, he said, hey, where are you going? What can we do to get you to come back? I said, I don't know, sell me two for one. And he said, well, if I were able to do that, would you buy today? I said, probably I would, yes.
Mm-hmm, two for one.
He said, well, come over here and have a seat. Anyway, he wasn't anywhere close to two. It was like two for
$2 off, maybe.
It was two for two minus $10.
Yeah. No, the deals, those are usually a little tricks to bring you in the door, and then they try to sell you a different car, even a more expensive one.
Because they know if you leave, you're not going to come back.
No. So now there's the option to buy online. Now the third one is they try to sell you all those protection services that you don't really need.
No.
So make sure you're aware of that and look up to find out the ones you do need. The warranty, sometimes it could say, oh, this is for electric. Well, a lot of cars don't have much electric in them anymore.
Right. So what about the clean the upholstery for life deal? Should you get that one? Like you spill your coffee on your seats and they'll clean that forever.
You know what? I don't know. It doesn't say that in here if that's a good one or not. But for somebody like me with pets, that probably would be.
No, yeah.
I actually took my car in to get it cleaned and the guy looked at me and he goes, you need to get a seat cover.
You know what? I get that for my cars and I get that for my furniture at home. When I buy a couch, I get that. But I've always gotten that.
But I've never used it. That's what you need to think about.
There were times when, come to think of it, I should have used it. But in most cases, they're good for the life of the upholstery.
You just have to, it's that extra step of actually going and taking care of it.
What a hassle.
Uh-huh. And then the last one is they mark up the interest rate on the car. So call the bank directly and see kind of what interest rate they would give you, because they might not be telling you the truth.
Oh.
So those are the four main ones if you're going to buy a car.
That's an underhanded car salesman.
See, I know what I'm talking about.
Right. No. You do.
I've only bought one car on my own, so.
You're like a bird in the hand.
Well, maybe not, but this bird is kind of funny.
What bird?
This bird I want to tell you about. There's this magpie in Germany.
Oh.
Apparently, it flies around in this park area. And I guess the other day, a man was sitting on a bench smoking a joint. And this little bird just swooped down, took the joint out of his hand, and flew away.
Oh.
And I do think they caught it on video somewhere, so we might want to look that one up. But, yeah, I don't think the guy's going to be smoking there again because this is a little joint thief bird.
Joint thief bird. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, magpies, crows, those types of birds are purported to be the smartest of all the birds
out
there.
Yeah, they just wanted to get a little mellowed out then, probably.
You ever see a crow use tools?
Really?
Yeah, to open things. They do. A crow will get one thing in his claw or in his beak and use it to break something else open. This is a sign of intelligence. No other birds do that. They don't use tools. Crows use tools.
Interesting. I did not know that. I have a newfound respect for crows.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Fine. Did you hear about that dude they found? He was dead in his car, but then all of a sudden it turned out he had more guns than the cavalry.
Yes, it actually happened here, and I read about it this morning. And apparently the LAPD, they found this guy in his car. He'd been there for some time, so they went to his house to see if there was anything, you know, going on. Well, they got a big surprise. There was about 1,200 different kinds of weapons, guns, and ammunition. I think they said...
Was he a collector, or was he getting ready
to
shoot up the sheriff and the rest of the town?
They're trying to find out because it took two trips to get all the guns out. Some of them hadn't even been taken out of their boxes. And the LAPD doesn't think it's related to any kind of crimes, but they say they do now have to go through all of these guns and see if they're linked to anything criminal. But at this time, they don't think so, but it's a lot of guns.
Yeah, maybe he was a seller distributor kind of guy. They could have been working with gangs
on
or some other more nefarious
market.
Groups.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, scary stuff. All right. Well, you always heard about that old thing, you know, mom or dad or whoever would say, don't do that, you'll go blind. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Like sitting too close to the TV.
No, not that.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
That other thing you do.
That's the only one they ever told me.
You're much closer than you are to the TV when you're doing this thing that potentially would make you go blind. But just the same. Perhaps also grow hair on your palm. But that's another story.
Hmm.
But this is a story that someone posted online. So there's no way to tell if it's true or not. But we definitely want to believe it. A 22-year-old woman posted a story on Reddit this weekend. It's in the I totally... effed up section of Reddit. The title was, Today I effed up by having sex with a guy so hard he went blind.
What? How is that possible?
She says she met a guy at a club. They went home together and they had rough sex.
What did she do to his eyes?
And she says, here's the quote, it was obviously this guy liked the power struggle, so we ended up throwing each other around a bit. But when they woke up the next morning, this guy started freaking out because he couldn't see. Turned out he had some degenerative holes in his retinas, and he was pretty sure that the rough sex caused them to tear.
Oh, my goodness.
And the woman ended up the story by saying, quote, I'm currently in the waiting room of a hospital waiting to hear back about a guy I honestly can't remember the name of.
Oh, my goodness. She may have blinded him for life, and she doesn't even remember his name?
Yeah.
Oh, so sad.
Mm.
Yikes.
Yeah. She deleted the story and her account after it started going viral, so we don't know if doctors were able to help the guy or if he's permanently blind.
You have to realize, do people not realize putting that online, it may have that chance, so why put it up there in the first place?
Right. Well.
Wow.
What do you think?
That's
Is that possible?
Crazy. Maybe she hit his head against the wall or something.
Well,
I
now that's another question to ask, because some people survey their potential mates in bars, you know, when they meet somebody. So now you'll have to ask an additional question. Do you have holes in your retinas?
Yes, because I need to know this. I don't want to hurt you. Oh, my goodness. That's not something you think about ever happening.
No, it's not.
I hope at least, well, anyway, I won't go there.
Yeah, yeah. No. Why not?
Hopefully he had fun beforehand at least.
Okay.
Hopefully
it
was at least somewhat worth it.
Don't mess with sea turtles. It could get you shot. That story and more coming up next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Hey, it's Phil Hewlett and friends. According to a new survey, only 5% of people say they're living in their dream home. But when you ask what people need for it to be a dream home, the answers are actually pretty reasonable and restrained. I have the top 10 things people need to have the perfect home, starting with number 10, a big bathroom.
I concur.
A utility room. Now, what is that? That's where you put your sewing machine and your crafts whatever else.
I would think where you put your washer and dryer, maybe.
Oh, is that what that is?
Maybe.
Utility room?
I'm going to go with that, because I don't know.
A nice yard lawn, which you can't do in California anymore. Flowers in the yard.
Okay.
Full insulation. Well, I mean, there's code about that. Insulation on walls facing outside. You're going to get those, at least in our part of town.
Okay.
That's the rule. But insulation from room to room, you're not necessarily going to get that unless you pay extra for it because you want soundproofing.
Okay.
Yeah. Lots of storage. That's a big deal, especially if you've been hoarding stuff your entire life.
Yes, you don't realize that until you move either.
A dishwasher. Most houses don't have dishwashers these days, or don't they? I don't know. Is that a standard feature?
I don't know. I have one, but I actually still wash dishes by hand sometimes.
We had an old one that we used to use for storage.
So it got good use.
Yeah. Well, we have a new one now, though. It's quiet. Don't even know it's on. A walk-in closet.
Yes.
Definitely?
Yes.
With one of those tables in the middle?
Oh, please. That would be amazing.
Place for shoes?
I don't have a walk-in closet right now, and it is the worst part of my place.
Now, this is an upgrade, and I have to say yes. Yes to this. Double-paned windows.
I'd see that.
Yeah, and when they're closed, you don't hear anything outside. Really, you don't. And a really nice shower.
Okay.
Something else you're not allowed to use in California anymore.
That's why you have to buy perfume.
You know, they have those showers with, like, six different places where the water comes out.
Yes, now you can only use one of them.
Yeah, right.
And for 3 minutes.
Yeah, oh, gosh. All right, so tell me about this this guy. He's a Vietnam vet.
Well, yes.
What did he do? What happened?
Well, his name's Stan Panaman.
Stan what?
Stan Panaman.
Okay.
And he's 72, and I guess he really likes sea turtles. So he and a friend were out looking at sea turtle nests on a beach in Lauderdale by the Sea in Florida on Friday, and they were there waiting for the turtles to hatch so they could help make sure they all got to the water safely.
Oh, okay.
Well, some man, apparently intoxicated, approached them and started saying things like, "I hate sea turtle people. You're all beeping crazy."
Wow.
Yes. And so he started getting aggressive with them and started pulling up these wooden stakes that were surrounding the nesting area. So this vet, who now uses a cane, he had a handgun in his pocket and he just took it out and just said, you know, to show, "Hey, I'm armed." Well, somehow he got into a struggle with the intoxicated man. That guy got the gun and then shot him in the butt.
Wow.
Yes. And so now he still has the bullet in his buttocks, which will be removed in the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But now this guy is facing charges of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, possession of a weapon by a convicted felon, and battery on a person 65 or older. And I'm not sure if it's the turtles that he doesn't like or the person that is 65 or older, because last year he actually had to plead no contest to that same thing, battery on a person older than 65.
Yeah.
So he's not respecting his elders.
He was able to take the gun away from a 72-year-old war vet.
And then shoot him.
Yes.
They said it was an accident, but, you know, still.
Coming next summer from Marvel, Angry Drunk Guy.
Yes, and Little Turtles. Why you be mad about that? They're cute.
Yeah. Do you ever go on one of those turtle egg things where you watch the turtles come up and...
I have not done it
yet. Dig a hole, lay their eggs, cover the hole, and then go back in?
I have not seen it, only on TV, but
yeah.
I'm sure it would be kind of amazing to watch.
You're an animal person.
I am.
You got to do all these things.
I know. I have a list.
Yeah. There's a guy, and I don't know why he did it, but maybe we'll learn here in a moment. He likes eating at Chipotle. Do they have a Chipotle in your part of town?
They do, and I've eaten there a few times.
Yeah,
it's decent.
This is where they make you an enormous burrito to order. Or you can get, they can make it in a bowl without the tortilla.
Yes.
Right? That's more or less all they serve.
And they say it's healthy, but then you look at the calories and it's like a zillion.
Yeah, sure. Especially when you add all the extra stuff, which is what I do typically. So this guy, his name is Mark Rantel. He's in Colorado Springs, which, by the way, is in Colorado. He has eaten lunch at Chipotle every single day since April 6th. Today will be his 107th day in a row. And he orders the exact same thing every time. Now, there's a an interesting fellow, huh?
Okay.
Boring, perhaps? He gets a burrito bowl with sofritas. Now, I don't know what sofritas are.
Sofritas. I don't either. I usually just get chicken.
Yeah. Don't know what a sofrita is. Anyway, that's a, oh, it's shredded tofu, for goodness sake.
Oh, you know what? I've tried that, actually.
Is it fried?
It's no, but they season it a lot, so it's really good.
Yeah?
It was actually very decent.
Okay. All right. Fine. I don't have a problem with tofu, but why would you order that every day? Burrito bowl and shredded tofu? Anyway, he also gets white rice, pinto beans, fajita vegetables, mild and medium salsas, corn, cheese, lettuce, and a side of chips, and a cup of water.
Okay.
Is that a healthy meal?
It's a big meal.
It sure is. As for why he's doing it, it's not all that interesting. Here's this quote. The whole thing was totally an accident. On Monday, I decided to get Chipotle, and on Tuesday, I made the same decision. Then I got lunch with my friend there on Wednesday. See?
And it just kept going and going and going.
Told you it was boring. Basically, he just decided to keep going. And here's another quote. Every time I hit a milestone, it was very easy and convenient to imagine hitting the next. And he isn't sure when he's going to stop. So far, he's gained about 14 pounds.
That doesn't surprise me. Oh, my goodness.
But he says that's what he wanted since he recently became a vegetarian and dropped a lot of weight. And he also says the staff knows him and gives him free food about
that's what I was wondering.
One out of 10 times.
Okay, I was going to say, is he at least getting a discount for going there?
He
so
should
much?
Because, look, now everybody in the country is saying Chipotle.
Yes, frequent buyers club. He should get one of those little tickets.
Yeah. Now, people say Chipotle wrong, don't they?
Chipotle?
No, they don't say that.
Chipotle.
I'm trying to remember how people say it. I mean, you say it perfectly.
Chipotle.
Yeah.
Chipotle. I don't know why I came up with that one. Chipotle.
Yeah, just trying to remember. I'll remember it.
Okay,
people
yeah.
People say it wrong.
Chipotle.
They certainly do. You got to swim with some sharks recently, didn't you?
Kind of, yeah. I was at the Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach, and I got in a little wading pool with these little two-foot kind of guys. They were bamboo sharks. And then I got in the bigger pool with a zebra shark who was 8 feet long. And
wow.
Her name was Fern.
Fern the zebra shark.
The zebra shark. And I fed her and got to pet her. And she was very, very sweet shark.
Yeah.
If sharks can be sweet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
But.
Not if people generally don't like sharks.
No, they don't. But it's actually interesting. Miss USA contestant, Miss Maine USA, apparently. Her name is Marissa Butler. She says that she is tagging sharks on the beach in the name of conservation. I guess she's 21, and she's been partnering with this shark angler, and they've reeled in 30 large sandbar sharks, and then they tag them with on their fins.
Yeah.
So she's been doing this. She's been getting a lot of attention because she posts pictures online. Well, shark experts are now a little bit upset because they say that she's dragging these sharks onto the beach, posing for photos, which is harmful for them, and then tagging them and, you know, putting them back in the water. And they say most of the time tagging should be done out on a boat.
In the water.
With scientists in the water so the sharks are never taken out.
Mm-hmm.
And so people not so happy with her. But it is bringing attention, I guess, to a little bit to the fact that 100 million sharks are killed each year for their
fins. Wait, how many?
100 million. Oh. I learned that at the aquarium, too.
Okay, now wait a minute. Now, if 100 million sharks are killed each year, that means there's another number, perhaps a larger one, number of sharks that are not killed.
Yes.
There are that many sharks out there in the ocean?
The ocean's big. And there's lots of different kinds of sharks. So,
right.
I mean, lots.
Yeah, they're small.
They're not
ones,
all
big, ones.
Huge great whites. There's the little ones, the ones that the little bamboo sharks, they actually were like nibbling at my wetsuit.
This is why they say then when you go swimming in the ocean, the likelihood is that there will be a shark within 50 yards
of
you.
Oh, yeah. Might not be one that's scary, but there's many, many sharks
or
out there.
Or a scary one that just has decided to eat something other than you today.
Exactly. I wouldn't taste good, so.
No.
Well, I haven't been showering
I don't
now
think,
with the drought.
I don't think humans like our human, I mean, sharks don't like human flesh all
probably
that much.
Not.
Yeah.
No.
They got to be real hungry.
Probably. Or think they were something else.
I think they prefer something more blubbery, like a seal.
Yeah.
Well, and they do like fish.
They do.
Yeah.
But yeah, sharks being turned into shark fin soup. Apparently they take the fins and then they throw the shark back in.
Miss Maine USA, has she run for Miss America yet, or is that still coming?
I don't know. It does not say, but, you know.
We'll keep an eye on her.
Yeah, hopefully they're not hurting any of the sharks, and they are doing it for the right reason.
Speaking of keeping an eye, police kept an eye on this guy. He's in Minnesota. He robbed a convenience store earlier this month, and they caught him. You want to know how?
Yes, please.
He posted photos on Facebook holding up the cash and the cigarettes that he stole.
Why, oh why? I don't understand these things.
Yeah, and I think probably these days, cops just more or less... They look for people and look for their profile online for
Facebook's
clues.
Facebook's solving crimes now. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
You know what he used? He didn't use a gun. He threatened the clerk at the store with a sword.
That's becoming more common, too, I feel like. I've heard stories recently of people carrying weapons like knives and swords.
Yeah.
Which is
what
strange.
What else? Chainmail?
Not yet. That would be a cool comeback, though, if all of a sudden you see people coming into... Well, no, don't rob stores. Never mind.
Yes. Right. What are you doing?
Never mind. I'm not promoting... thievery and robbery.
Did you go through a kleptomaniac phase when you were
never.
A little girl?
No, I never did.
You never did?
Mm-mm.
Your friends did.
I did have a friend who stole something once, and we had to bail him out of jail.
How old was he?
He was old enough to know better. I think I was 14 or 15.
Oh,
and he
so
was
this
16.
Is not like 5-year-olds.
No, he was, and none of us knew what he was doing. And all of a sudden, we see him run out of the store, and there's these security guards chasing him, and we're like, "What happened?"
Yeah, well, see, that's not a 5-year-old kleptomania.
No, that was
phase.
A
that's,
problem.
Yeah, that's a shoplifting phase.
Yeah, we weren't friends after that.
No.
No.
Yeah, you upgraded.
Yes.
Hopefully. You got to get new friends every now and then. Hey, coming up. Maybe this is something you can relate to. I think I can relate to it. Some of the best swimming pools I've ever seen are at hotels. When you travel around the country or around the world, for that matter, some of the things you remember are the swimming pools. They're just spectacular in so many ways. Our travel guy has this topic today, classic American hotel swimming pools, classic pools. And I bet you've seen one or more of them on TV or in movies, commercials. Perhaps you've taken a dip in one or two of these. And we're going to compare notes with Gary Warner. Coming up next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Okay, time to make a splash with our travel guy, Gary Warner. Hey, Gary, how's it going, buddy?
It's going good. You know, it's that hot time of year, and although, you know, we got a big early bite on that around here. I'm up in Springfield, Oregon.
Yeah.
We've been in the mid-90s for much of the last few weeks. But I want to talk about swimming pools, but not just any old swimming pools. I want to talk about the sort of like the early great swimming pools that brought swimming pool mania to a summer near you.
But classic American, are we talking about hotel swimming pools specifically?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at least they're hotel swimming pools now. I mean, a good example is the Intercontinental Chicago, which started out as one of these sort of like Masons men's clubs type thing. And they built a wonderful swimming pool on the 14th story of this skyscraper. Well, now it's a hotel, and you can stay there, and you can go swim in that, you know, very strangely oriented pool. I mean, you know, you talk about pools on roofs, you talk about pools on, you know, the second story maybe or something like that, but a pool on the 14th floor?
Yeah.
What's that the view like?
Well, sure.
Yeah, it's a great spot. Now, you know, my favorite grand hotel pool is at the Biltmore in Coral Gables. I don't know if either of you have been out there.
I've been there, yes. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's massive, and, you know, it has a great story in that it, you know, was put up in the 1920s, and they used to do sort of aquatic shows there, and Johnny Weissmuller was one of the original lifeguards, and it's kind of like where he was discovered and ended up becoming our Tarzan later
on. Yeah, because he could,
so cool.
And he could swim, and he had a tan, and he had
Florida tan.
Bumps on his chest and his belly that most American men didn't have at the time.
Yeah.
All right. But, before we get into some more of these, what constitutes a good hotel swimming pool?
Well, you know, that's changed over the years, both in terms of what people want and in terms of what law will allow. So, you know, when I talk about a classic pool, I'm talking about a pool that was essentially designed to be swam in. And there was a diving board and a deep end and, you know, later on, the Olympic size was very important to determining the size of the pool. That used to be the classic pool. I mean, if you look at like the opening sequences of, say, Goldfinger, the movie with you know, the James Bond movie with Sean Connery,
mm-hmm.
and it's set in the Fontainebleau Hotel in Miami, North Miami, and they're playing cards. Goldfinger's playing cards by the pool, and James Bond sort of interrupts his game, but you can see the pool in the background, and there's a double high dive, and people are doing, you know, flips off of it, and, you know, these cabanas all the way around it, but then the black stripes to show how many yards it was that they swam. That is a classic hotel pool,
yeah.
And I'll tell you what, that pool's gone.
Oh, because imagine what would happen if somebody did a belly flop. They would sue, and they'd own the hotel.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm old enough to remember, and maybe you are too, Phil, that, you know, when you would go to some hotels, some nice hotels, and they would have those kind of pools. The one I always remember was the Desert Inn, the old Desert Inn in Las Vegas, that had the double high dive and the whole bit. And if you wanted to go up there, you could do it. But, you know, today insurance people would go nuts over that stuff. Most new pools that are built to be no more than 3 to 4 feet deep at their deepest spot.
My first Las Vegas swimming pool experience, I think I was 5, maybe 6 years old. It was a traumatic day for me.
Uh-oh.
I was by the pool, and I believe I might have been by myself, because that's just how things were in those days. But I knew how to swim already,
okay.
And I was in the pool, and I was swimming, and it was traumatic. First thing I saw, there was a man with one leg, went in the pool and swam, and I was horrified by that. I'd never seen that before. And then the next thing I noticed is that my belly button, which I was certain was an outie up until that day, I was messing with it and pushed on it, and it became an innie.
Wow, this
you can
is like
do that?
And I went and was freaking out and told my mom about the belly button, and she insisted that it always was an innie, and I have been damaged ever since.
Wow.
And okay. And you'll be doing this as a testimonial for which hotel?
This was the Thunderbird.
The old Thunderbird, yeah. Well, you know, I can remember, you know, my brother and I used to sneak over from the Desert Inn over to the Stardust, because at the Stardust, when the showgirls came in in the late afternoon, they were expected to go hang out by the pool for a while before getting ready for the show. It was just part of their contract gig in those 60s days. So my brother and I would go over and swim in the pool and look at the showgirls.
Well, the old Stardust, did it always have that big rocky area with the waterfall coming down?
No. It used to be just a straight-out pool. But, you know, like any pool, this is the problem that we talk about. And that's why a place like Coral Gables or the Beverly Hills Hotel or the Intercontinental that have kept their hotel pools pretty much close to what they were are rare, is that each of these places that has maybe a classic pool of a certain era, there's somebody around, you know, 20 years later who's going to say, you know, we're out of step. We need to, you know, have a rocky waterfall. We need to put in, build sauna. I mean, whirlpools within the pool.
Yeah.
We can't have this 6-8 feet thing. We're going to close it off and fill it into 3. But to do that, we've got to make it kind of like more of like a lazy river type thing.
Is the whole pool 3 feet deep? Is that it? I mean,
the whole pool, you go to most resorts now, Phil.
Yeah.
And the pool is no more than 3 to 4 feet deep.
You're going to scrape your knuckles if you try to swim freestyle, right?
The whole point is basically to be able to stand around and play volleyball and drink, you
in
know,
pool,
a little
yeah.
bit in the pool and stuff like that. There are a few pools that will still go a little bit deeper than that. One is the over in Kauai, the Marriott, great huge old style pool, and there's some deep areas there. But for the most part, you go to places like I said, the Fontainebleau or the Desert Inn, where there used to be these classic pools, they're gone. And what's there now are more of these sort of like, you know, play pools is what they are.
Now, of course, the best pools are going to be at the pricey hotels with the sprawling grounds, right?
For the most part, I mean, the old style ones, I mean, another great old pool is the Biltmore Hotel in Arizona. It has a great swimming pool, but they've also added on sort of a Frank Lloyd Wright themed water slide and things like that. So you know, everything changes. But yeah, every now and then you'll find a great old swimming pool at a motel. I remember staying at the Days Inn in Memphis, and they had a great classic hotel swimming pool. It's just whether or not, you know, something like that is nostalgic for me. For my kids, it would probably be, you know, oh God, this is boring. You know, it's just a square with water in it.
Name a classic pool at a hotel that is both indoors and outdoors, and you could swim from the outdoors into the indoors.
So you've got one in mind, I'm sure, and I can't.
Well, I do. I'm hoping that you remember, so I know what it was.
I'm sure I've done this, but it reminds me, you know, there's places in Asia where they have that because of the rains. I'm going to give up. Where?
Yeah, I don't know. I was hoping.
Oh, you really didn't know.
There is one, and you come in, and on the inside, it's like a rainforest, rain garden kind of thing. And I've been there, and I just can't put my finger on it.
And what traumas happened there?
No, sorry.
That's how you associate your pools.
All sorts of things have happened. I'll
have to look that up for you, Phil. But I'm sure it's a great pool. But you know, if you have a chance to see these grand old pools. Even if you just go by and have a drink at like the Beverly Hills Hotel or something like that, they're really cool to see.
Good luck diving. There's no diving. Yeah. You have to sit on the edge and kind of shimmy into the water, and you have to have somebody, an official in a uniform, reach a hand out to you and pull you out of the pool when you're ready to leave. So that way nobody gets hurt.
That's the whole other pool split that you see now. Is there's basically the kids' pool where everybody goes to play, and then there's like the main beautiful pool, but nobody ever goes in it. They just sit around it.
Now take us out of the country just for one, because the classic pools are all here. But I know they have that largest pool in the world. I think it's down in Colombia or Costa Rica, someplace like that. But in your travels, internationally. Has there been just one pool that stood out that was
definitely
just spectacular?
Definitely. The indoor pool at the Hotel Gellert in Budapest. It's a spa complex, basically, but it's one of the ones from the 19th century. And it was just built for another day with these huge columns that you swim in between. And I think they attempt to basically recreate a little bit of the Roman bath look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's absolutely gorgeous, and you just feel like you're in a completely different time, and you don't have to stay at the Gellert. You can stay anywhere else and just go and swim in the pool. And I think it's used to be quite cheap. It's gone up since Hungary's moved more towards Western Europe, but it's only like I think about $5-7.
That's something. I would have thought you'd pick one of those infinity pools on the 175th floor in Singapore.
Oh, there's some places, great places like that. But I'm more of I'm an old timer. I'm more of a classic guy. But yeah, there's some great infinity. We'll get into infinity pools, or one of my favorite pools is the pool on top of the. The one where they did Lost in Translation, the Park Hyatt, Tokyo. You're in like the second or third tallest building in the city, and the pool's there. Mm-hmm. And so you get out and you are basically toweling yourself down, and you're looking out at this horizon of 10 million people. So mm-hmm. that is pretty amazing.
And you could fall off the side and die.
No.
And there will be your other story for our pool.
Gary, a pleasure as always to speak with you.
Now I want to go swimming. Have some fun and just leave your belly button alone. Okay?
Yeah, I'm open for adventure, ready for it. Okay, thanks, Gary.
Take care, guy. Bye.
Talk to you later. Okay, there he goes. Up next here on the program, just double checking. There was a marriage recently, a grown man and a 4-year-old child, an actual marriage, and we'll tell you about that next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, here we are. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, I don't know. I've had some trauma in swimming pools. I certainly have.
Sounds like it over the years.
There was the other thing. It's been a while since I've told this story, and I don't think you've heard this one, Aaron. It's one of my near-death experiences, and we did a whole show on that way back at the beginning of this program. And I was... maybe 6-7 years old, something like that. We were at the neighborhood pool. They had three pools, actually. They had the kitty piss pool. And
that's always a favorite.
They had the diving pool, which was deep and cold. The water was always coldest there. The kiddie pool water was always warmest.
Hmm.
Then they had the Olympic pool, which started 3 feet, and then it went to 6 feet in the middle and 3 feet at the end. And, you know, I'm a kid, 7 years old, six, seven, something like that. So what I decided to do, I would do this little hop thing where you start in the 3 feet, and then you hop forward and go underwater a little bit, and then you hop up, and you just keep jumping forward. And I was going to go all the way across. I was there with my mom, who was blissfully laying on her back, tanning in the sun, and more than likely asleep. And so the next thing I know, while I'm endeavoring to hop across the pool, I wake up, there's a crowd of people around me, and a lifeguard kissing me.
Oh, no. What happened?
I apparently drowned.
How did you... But.
Well, you die if you drown, right?
Yeah.
I nearly drowned.
Well, you nearly drowned.
Yes.
Wow.
And so apparently one of my hops, I didn't make it.
Oh, my goodness.
And
do you swim now?
Anyway, oh, sure.
Okay. You've gotten over it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fine. I don't have trouble with the water. I dive right in. But yeah. So anyway, the crowd dispersed. The lifeguard let me go because back then they didn't have forms and all that kind of stuff to fill out. And there was no OSHA or anything like that. And so I walked over to my mom, woke her up. And, hey, Mom, I just drowned.
And I got my first kiss.
Get out of here. You stop lying. Get back in the pool. And
that's scary. So you
near death experience.
That is scary.
Yeah.
I do not have any of those.
So there's
experiences.
There's the guy with the stump leg swimming, and there's the inny outy belly button, and there's the near death.
And you still go in pools. You're very brave.
Yeah,
you're very brave.
Well, because on balance, some of the coolest things that have ever happened have happened in pools.
Okay, good.
When you think about it, I mean, when you just isolate your experience in swimming pools, a lot of cool things happen in pools.
They do.
Yeah. I almost died in a pool once. Or was...
Besides that other one?
I was almost paralyzed once in a pool.
I'm not going swimming with you ever.
It was a pool party for my... My seventh grade print shop teacher had a pool party. He was also the homeroom teacher.
Okay.
Okay? So this was the homeroom group. All the kids with last names that start with H. And these days, teachers can't have pool parties.
Mm-mm.
They would be run right out of town as some kind of pedophile, right? So he's having a pool party, and I'm in the pool near the edge just having a conversation with some of my H classmates.
Okay.
And this gal, she's got a little meat on her bones, is standing outside the pool and decides, and her last name starts with an H, and she decides to jump in the pool and lands right on my head while I'm not paying attention.
Oh, no.
And I probably lived the rest of my life with a couple of cracks in my cervical vertebrae.
Ow.
Yeah. I was in pain, but I was too proud to show it.
Yeah.
But it was
like
bad.
It was nothing. Ow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you have had some experiences at pools.
Yeah.
I don't have any stories like that at a pool whatsoever, I don't think.
Those are the bad ones. I probably think of a few more, but by and large, my experiences in swimming pools have been wonderful.
Can you remember those moments?
Oh, sure. There was this one. I'm traveling. I think we were in Egypt. And I'm in a pool. And it seems like it's like 5 or 6 acres. It just meanders everywhere. But there's nobody in it. And it's one part water and 12 parts chlorine. Okay? But other than that, it's a beautiful pool. You get inside and you come out and your hair is green. And I'm swimming around by myself. I'm just swimming. I get around to this other corner, and there's a beautiful young tourist about my age.
Okay.
And she's swimming, and don't know where she's from. She looks European to me. I can't tell. I just know she's cute. And she pops out of the water, and something else pops out. One side is okay. The other side is not. Yeah.
Oy.
Anyway, there was my opportunity there to break the ice and say, hey, got a thing there, or here, let me fix that, or whatever, you know, would have been appropriate or inappropriate at the time. I'm not sure. But I chose to say nothing but keep my eyes locked on the situation to make sure nothing else went wrong.
So okay.
And she went back into the water and swam off and perhaps realized later and was horrified.
What you were staring at? Aww. She's like, why is this weird guy just standing there with his jaw hanging and his eyes like bugged out?
Yes. So I was 18 at the time. You'd think I would have had some moves stored up for that eventuality. But no, I was completely dumbstruck and had nothing constructive to do.
well,
wasn't
probably
even
that way.
Able to begin to try to close the deal.
Excuse me. Yes.
Yeah. If there was a deal to be had.
Yeah, she probably would have been embarrassed and swam off anyway.
Right.
So.
Probably had an angry dad or an older brother who had a machete in his board shorts ready to. Well, no, they all wear the Speedos over there. You can't hide a machete in a Speedo.
No.
All right. So tell me now that we're done talking about me for a minute. Let's talk about this male nurse.
Yeah, there's a nurse at a center called Melody Center for Childhood Cancer. And I guess he has a patient there, a little girl named Abby, who's 4. She was diagnosed with leukemia. And she's been coming there, and he sees her pretty much every time she's there. And I guess he is her favorite. So she made a comment about wanting to marry him.
Oh.
So he decided, with the help of his real wife and the hospital staff, to throw a wedding. And the two of them, they had a wedding celebration, and they planned it. She got to walk down the aisle with bridesmaids and flowers and cake. And apparently, the little girl Abby said, "This is the best day ever."
Oh.
And so it's just very sweet. They threw this wedding ceremony for a 4-year-old girl who's fighting cancer.
How about that?
Yeah. And now he's blowing up all over the place, and girls are going, "Oh, you're so sweet."
See, you thought it was going to be a bad story. It's
no,
actually a lovely
that
story.
That is a good one.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
Okay. And you know what's good for your health? Pets.
Yes, they are.
Allergies are one of the bad side effects of having pets, of course, but there are also some good side effects. And the 4 healthiest pets you can own, starting with number 4. Okay, never mind. Dogs and cats are on the list, okay?
Of course.
Dogs are 1, cats are number 2. But can you guess what 3 and 4 are?
Bunnies?
No.
Okay. And?
Snakes? No.
Chinchillas?
No. Number 4 is horses. The study last year found that just being around horses makes kids less stressed out. You also use a lot of different muscles when you ride, including your quads, hamstrings, and your core.
I could see that. There are therapy horses out there, too.
Now, here's one I hadn't thought about, but when you think about the things that people have as pets, number 3 is fish.
They die too much. That's traumatizing.
Well, I don't know. Then you can have your little fish funeral in the backyard. You know, you get a matchbox.
Yeah, but after like 10 of them.
Yeah. Just watching them swim around for a few minutes actually can relieve stress. Mm. One study had people stare at a fish tank for 20 minutes before they went to the dentist, and it relieved stress just as well as hypnotherapy.
Interesting. I mean, I think fish are very pretty, but I don't know if I'd want one as a pet. I like the ones that I can cuddle.
Apparently birds have the same effect.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And here's something you've probably seen on TV. A 19-year-old college kid in Portland, Oregon, saved a woman from a burning car Saturday afternoon. And we're talking about it for 2 reasons. 1, it happened at a gas station where 2 pumps were on fire. And the other reason, he rescued her by punching his fist through the car window.
Wow. That's hard to do.
That only happens on TV, right? You see the superhero,
yeah,
strong guy,
to do.
He's yoked, he's got the big arms, and he wraps his shirt around his fist and puts it through the window.
Wow.
I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't either.
Tempered glass. That's
pretty
good.
He's a hero.
And strong at the moment. He just somehow found that
strength.
Adrenaline. Hey, we love your comments. Go to the website. Click contact. You can fill out a form. We're on Twitter. That's so much easier. At Faf Show. Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Hey, Mike. Our producer, Brooke Peterson. Our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who incidentally forgot to show up today. For Aaron Myers and all of the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.